Exodus chapter 35 tonight, please. Exodus 35. We'll look at some scripture tonight, but the message is God provides for you what He asks from you. God provides for you what He asks from you. Verse number 4 in Exodus 35. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair, and ram's skins dyed red, and badger skins and shittim wood, and oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, and onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and for the breastplate. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. Father, we come to you tonight. I ask that you'd help us this evening. May your will be done. We ask in your name. Amen. Look with me at verse number 20 and 22 of the same chapter. It says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came every one whose heart steered him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing. They brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service and for the holy garments. And they came both men and women, as many as were willing hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Look at verse number 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. Now this scripture, the context of this scripture is not dealing with faith promised missions or missions at all. But it deals with the context of giving. Tonight I want to talk to you about the context of giving. It reveals, I believe, to the Bible student, the truth about investing in God's economy. Reveals, I believe, that God provides for you already what He asked from you. And we'll cover that in just a little bit. Oftentimes, I think that we ought to give by faith. But oftentimes, people have this idea, well, God wants me to step out by faith and give what I don't have. And if you are of that thought, and you can do that, then I'm not going to discourage you from following God in that area of faith. If you say, well, God wants me to give $100 a week, but I don't have it, He'll provide it for me. If that's what you believe, I think you should live by faith. But from the scripture, I don't believe that's what God is teaching, how we ought to handle our finances. And, I believe that God provides for us what He asks from us. Here we see in the book of Exodus that Moses is on the mountain, and there he's receiving the commandments, the Ten Commandments. There he's also receiving the pattern for the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle. In Exodus 35:25-31, God gives Moses the Ten Commandments and the law. God also gives Moses the blueprints for the Ark of the Covenant, the tabernacle, the instruments, and the details for the priest's garments. In Exodus 32-33, we find that the Israel begins to worship the golden calf. And Moses comes down and takes care of that. In doing so, he breaks the Ten Commandments, the tablets, and we find in Exodus 34 that Moses goes back to the mountain and spends an additional 40 days, 40 nights with God and receiving the Ten Commandments again. In Exodus 35 now, Moses gathers the children of Israel and as a prophet instructs them on the commandments of God, the will of God, and the tabernacle of God. We find that God now, He's going to get them involved in giving and working this tabernacle. God wants to dwell among them. And the tabernacle is going to be a place, a representation of Jesus Christ, of course, but also it's going to be a place where God dwells with them and deals with them in their journey through the wilderness for 40 years. And so we find that the tabernacle of God would involve giving. It would involve giving on the children of Israel's part. And that tabernacle was to be more important than anything else in their life. I want to say tonight this, the soul of man is more important than the wealth of man. The Bible says in Mark 8:36, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So a man can be very wealthy, and we see in our world today, there's always, listen, by the way, don't get mad. We find in our history there's always been wealthy people. There's always been poor people. We find that Jesus Christ said the poor will always be among you. So no matter what social reform you want to try to back or endorse, there's always going to be poor among you. That's just the way it is. That's just life. But the soul of man is far more important than the wealth of man. We see today that men are chasing wealth to try to find happiness and peace and contentment. They're never going to find it. In fact, they'll find themselves in hell if they chase wealth and not the Lord Jesus Christ. Prosperity and possessions are not a reflection of also of great spirituality. Some idea have this idea that if you follow Joel Osteen and that vein of preachers, they have the idea that if you're prosperous, if you have wealth, then you are spiritual. But the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, 5 and 6, it says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. And so when they say you can have your best life now, and you can be prosperous and wealthy, and you can have all these things that the American dream, and somehow have the big house and the boat and the car and have the big bank account, and God wants to bless you, make you wealthy. God says when that becomes the message, He says, withdraw thyself from them. Get away from them, because godliness with contentment is great gain. And we should be looking for our home in heaven, not for our wealth here on this earth. Now, God's not against, by the way, God's not against wealth. He's not against you having wealth. It's not wealth that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. The reason that many of us have no wealth is because we couldn't handle it anyway if we had it. And by the way, you can be poor and living off of welfare and be guilty of the love of money. Okay? And so we find that God's involved, God, the tabernacle of God, God's economy requires people to give. Now, in God, in man's mind, whether they're saved or unsaved, there's never a time, a good time to invest in the things of God. Listen, I'm 50 years old, pastored now for 20 plus years. Doesn't give me any credit for anything. I'm not smarter than anybody else, and I'm not better than anybody else. But in the ministry, I've heard from the day one in the ministry, for over 20 plus years, preacher, the economy's bad. When I got my first church, assigned to missions, preacher, the economy's bad. It's bad. It's bad, preacher. You know, cows ain't bringing anything. Corn ain't bringing anything. We're bad, you know. The Clintons in the White House, you know, things are just bad. They were bad. But anyway, there's never been a time, a good time for anybody to ever invest in God's economy. Everybody's always, listen, I've never had anybody come to me and say, preacher, I got so much money, I don't know what to do with it. If you do, by the way, come see me because I'll give you a couple ideas. But there's always been a bad economy. There's never been a good time to invest in the things of God. The economy has always been bad since the day I've been young. I haven't heard my parents talk about money. The economy has always been bad. But yet we're one of the wealthiest nations, and we're the most entertained people on the face of the earth. I don't have any money. Go look in your closet. From side to side, it's stuffed full of clothes. And anyway, there's always been, since I've been old enough to pay attention, there's always been some looming disaster about to hit us. You know, every election is the most important election in the world, and I believe this was important. But I've been hearing that thing since I remember going to college, and when Clinton was running against, who was he running against the first time? Help me out.
George Bush.
And they said, listen, if Clinton wins, we are done for. Our country's in the tank. It's going to be bad if he wins. And so it's the most important election. And every election since then, it's been the most important election. And I understand it's important to vote. I'm for that. I'm not for the Biden-Harrison ticket, and they're a bunch of quacks. If they get in, things will definitely change. But God's on His throne, by the way. You know, since I've been pastor, there's always been some disaster coming where we can't invest. Y2K is coming. What a hoax that was. A lot of guys got rich off of that. By the way, there was no moon landing. That's a farce. And the earth is flat, covered by a dome. And anyway, the Bible says that God sits on the four corners of the earth, okay? So it's flat. Don't go too far. You'll fall off the edge. And anyway, well, there's always been some disaster that's going to loom, you know, over us. You know, something's going to happen, you know, and I get that. But there's always been a reason why we can't invest. And so we see the economy's changing. We see the politics changing. We see all these disasters that we're afraid of. But the American dream continues to be built. And folks still buy bigger houses and fancier cars, go on nice vacations and wear nice clothes. And we have what we, by and large, listen, I know that there's nobody in our church that's filthy or rich, but let me ask you a question. Do you do what you want to do for the most part? Yeah, we do. We do. And I'm in that. If anybody says I don't have any money, I'm one of the first ones. I'm broke. I've heard preachers say, never tell your kids you're broke. My kids have heard it a million times. I am broke. All right? But by and large, maybe I did wrong by telling them that when growing up, but I just got tired of them asking for stuff. We're broke. Don't ask. But by and large, really, in our life, yeah, we've had to sacrifice some, but we've done what we wanted to do. When it's important enough, we've found a way to get it done. So there's a great need to be filled and a great commission to be obeyed. Now, that's my introduction. Let me get to the point now. Some of you are like, please do, okay? Some of you folks don't look very excited. I'm sorry. You don't look very excited. I'm doing the best I can. And I'm going to give you tonight some thoughts about this. I want you to notice from our scripture tonight, our text, God's requirement. God's requirement. Look with me at Exodus 25, please. We find where God begins to speak to Moses about the tabernacle. Exodus 25. We find God's requirement. Chapter 25, verse 1 says, and of Exodus, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and purple and blue and purple, and scarlet and fine linen, and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red, and badger skins and shittim wood, oil for the light and spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in ephod in the breastplate. Watch verse number 8. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. The Lord says, I want you to build a tabernacle that I could dwell among you with, but here's the plan. Here's my requirement. You're going to finance it and you're going to build it. God said, I want to dwell among you. I want there to be a place for me, for you and I to meet. I want there to be a place where I can guide you and meet with you and where you can receive my presence and my Shekinah glory. But here's the plan. If you want me to dwell among you, you're going to finance it. You're going to bring offerings and you're also going to build it. And so God has a purpose, requirement. So tabernacle was to be built so God could dwell among them, but God dwells where he's wanted. You know, he dwells where he's wanted. God is honored when we serve him with a willing heart. This idea, well, listen, I've got to go to church. I've got to do this. Yes, there ought to be some character in your life, but there should come a time in your life where it's a willing heart, where I want to go to church, and I want to read my Bible, and I want to pray, and I want to do right, and I want to live for God. I want his presence in my life. I want to honor him. This idea of, well, you know, got to constantly make somebody and call somebody and just ride their case. Well, you serve God. You don't need a guilt trip. You need to fall in love with Jesus Christ. Yeah. You need to have a willing heart. So God's plan was you finance it, you bring an offering, and you build it. Then my presence will be there. God had a plan. Now let me say something about this plan. God's talking to a weary, vagabond, a group of people. They had no homes. They had no country. There are no factories to go to. No, there's no unemployment office to go to. They were pilgrims in search of a city. But God desired for them to give an offering. And by the way, they had the means to finance what God required of them. though they had left Egypt and had not got to Israel, they didn't have their permanent homes, no permanent dwelling, and though they were in the wilderness, God knew they had the means to do what he required of them, and though you may have your finances, and you may live in your home, or and you may have your meager means, whatever God asks from you, he knows you have it. God's not going to ask from you what you don't have. God's not that kind of father. And so God desires to be with them, but it requires them to give the offering and to build it. God has his people do the labor, God has his people do the giving. Now, God's plan for missions is this. God says, I want you to finance it. I want you to do the work. Now, God could drop money out of the sky. Would it be a problem for God? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills that they roam upon. God owns everything. God's not short for money. In fact, what we crave and greed and beg for and buy and steal for and kill for, God paves his streets with. He's not hurting for anything. And so God, if it was up to God, if it was his will, he could drop out of the sky. He can make money trees. Do you remember your parents telling you that when you're growing up? Do you think money grows on trees? I wish it would. Like, whoa, plant two in the backyard. We'd have an orchard full here at the church in the back. We'd turn the parking lot and plant trees. God wants his people to finance missions and do the work of missions. The gospel is to be preached to every creature, and God requires from us what we're able to give. Let me show you a verse here. Look at with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Hold your place in Exodus. We'll come back there in a little while. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And in verse number 12. As the Bible here deals with giving. Now, I don't believe this is talking about tithing. This is talking about offerings, about giving above and beyond the tithe. This offering was, in fact, it was for the church at Jerusalem to help them in their need. But it says in verse number 12, for if there be first a willing mind. It's the same condition that God desired for the children of Israel with the tabernacle. Have a willing mind. So it is accepted according to that a man hath, not according to that he hath not. God does not require all of us the same amount. But he does want all of us to have a willing mind and sacrifice. What your sacrifice might be may not be my sacrifice. That is not the issue. The issue is, well, preacher, you know, I can't give what you give, so I'm not going to give anything at all. That's not scriptural either. This idea, well, I'm not going to get involved because I don't have a lot of money. Nobody has a lot of money. There's never been a good economy. There's always been some looming disaster, always been some looming problem. Well, preacher, what if? Well, what if? Yeah, what if? What if we save and hoard it to ourselves and people die and go to hell? We have to ask ourselves the question tonight. Preacher, listen, let me tell you something. If you're in our church, you're not going to starve to death. Tom, you've been here the longest of anybody, I think. Has anybody you know in this church history ever starved to death? Been kicked out of their house for late payments? Lost electricity, water? Not that I'm aware of. We either God's provided or our church has banded together and we've paid. Listen, since I've been here 13 years, we have paid thousands of dollars in utility bills and house payments for people. Thousands of dollars. Now, I'm not going to, listen, don't line up now and say, What do I sign up for that? But God has a plan, and God says, listen, first let there be a willing mind. Then God says, I'm not asking for what you don't have, but what do you have? What do you have? So God's requirement, number two, is this, giving's revelation. What does giving reveal about people? Giving revealed about Israel their desire to have God with them, desire to have God's presence, his glory, desire to have God's hand upon them, God's leadership in their life. It revealed their love for God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse number 6. 2 Corinthians 9, just over the page there, across the page, says, but I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Say something, your desire, your need, and your lack of might also reveal your stinginess. Because God says, listen, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. But, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, shall him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now watch verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Here I find tonight that giving reveals your priorities. When you give to the things of God, it reveals your priorities. And by the way, God said this, in verse number 7, every man according to his purpose in his heart. God lets you decide. When it comes to missions and helping others, God lets you decide. When the church in Jerusalem sold their property, God didn't tell them to do that. They decided to do that. God didn't command them to, hey, sell your lands and sell your homes and sell your extra stuff and have all things common. Because they were born again and loved God, had a willing heart, they did that. They purposed themselves. When God killed, who were those two? Ananias and Sapphira. God didn't kill them for keeping part of it back. God killed them for lying about it. They could decide, because listen, we're gonna keep part of this back and only get part of the church. And if they'd have told the truth, they'd have been fine about it. So God lets you decide, but what you're giving reveals your priorities and your purpose. You see, we determine in our heart the purpose and our purpose for our money. God lets us determine that. But let me remind you that where your treasure is, there will your heart also be found. Matthew 6, 19 through 21 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know why some folks find it so easy to leave the ministry or to leave the church house? Because their money has never hit God's hands. You know why some folks, it seems like I learned one thing in this church, there are some folks you couldn't preach out of here. You couldn't preach out of here. You know why? Because for a long time they just invested in the things of God. Now listen, and I'm not saying that our church is maybe, I'm not trying to equate that somehow if you tithe and give offerings that somehow, you know, you're better than anybody else. What I'm saying is that when you invest in the things of God, it's hard to leave the things of God. It's just hard to leave. You know, when you for years have invested in the house of God and God's people and a bus ministry or young people, you can go through problems, you can face obstacles, you can get mad at the preacher and still not leave. Why? Because your heart is bigger than the offense. Because that's where you invested. You know, Jesus Christ, why does he give up on us? Because he invested everything in us. Amen? And so where your heart is, where your treasure is, that where your heart be also, the Bible says. God says in Luke 12:21, so he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. And so giving reveals your priorities. The tabernacle became a priority to the children of Israel. It's a priority of the heart. The ministry of souls should be a priority to the heart of every believer. Number two is this. Giving reveals your priorities, but also giving reveals your pursuit. Verse number 7 says, God loves a cheerful giver. Listen, when you pursue God, you love to give. Every Christian I'm aware of, listen, I know that, listen, I believe that giving is a spiritual gift. I really do. There are some, listen, you meet some folks, what's theirs is theirs, what's yours is theirs. They ain't gonna give it up. I mean, they form an emotional bond to everything that they touch. It's just, this is mine! And they don't wanna give it up. But every Christian I have come across that loves the Lord and wants to serve God, they're just something that they just enjoy and want to give what they have. I said, I'm not saying that we should live as beggars and live as paupers. But we ought not hang on anything too awful tightly unless so God could ask for it, we'd give it to him. Preacher, it's my stuff. Didn't God ask from Abraham his son Isaac? God's not interested so much in your stuff as he is in your heart. And if you won't give your stuff to the Lord and say, Lord, I give it up all up tomorrow for you, He doesn't have your heart either then. So God giving reveals your pursuit. Are you pursuing God? See, you will happily and cheerfully give of your resources and your time and your money if you are pursuing God. Giving also reveals your persuasion. Verse number 8 says, and God is able. Is that your persuasion tonight? God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. God said, listen, see, we're stuck on the amount. Oh, I can't give that much. He's not stuck on the amount. He's stuck on the act of giving, the heart of giving, the joy of giving, the desire to give, the desire to please God. And God said, listen, He said, when you give, I'm able to give you all grace that may toward you, that you may always have all sufficiency, that you may be satisfied to abound in all good. Listen, God's going to satisfy my needs so I may abound in His business. See, our problem is we think being satisfied means, Lord, I got to have a bunch of stuff before I can give to you. If you won't give to God when you have little, you won't give to God when you have much. I've met folks with a lot of things that they won't give because they're stingy. And, you know, I had one person say, you know, preacher, if I didn't have so much, it'd be easier to give. No, it wouldn't be easier to give. Yeah, but you give because you don't have anything. It was harder for the widow to give her two mites than for the Pharisees to give of their abundance. So giving reveals your persuasion. Do you really believe, do I believe that God is able to provide for our needs? So God is able. So giving reveals your priorities, your pursuit, and your persuasion. Let me close with this. God's provision. We see God's provision in this. God provides for you what He asks from you. Let's look at this. Look at Exodus chapter 35 again. Exodus 35, verse number 5. We'll go back to our text tonight. So now Moses is instructing the people, children of Israel, they all gather together having church, if you would. And he instructs them, he says this, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whatsoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. Now, let me ask you a question. Where are these folks who have just left Egypt going to get this stuff? They don't have homes. They don't have jobs. Look with me at Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Look at verse number 35. Exodus 12:35 says, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. The Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. God gave them, before they even left Egypt, God gave them what they needed, provided for them, what He was going to ask for them from them later. You know, it's amazing. I heard a few years ago the Egyptians were wanting to sue Israel for compensation for what they did in Exodus 12. No kidding, I read that in the news. Yeah. And so God now, they're leaving now with a high hand. And the Egyptians are tired of them. The Egyptians have abused them and have mistreated them for years. 430 years they've been in bondage. Now God's going to deliver them. And so God says, all right, when you leave there, borrow from them. Ask from them gold and silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And they spoil the Egyptians. And now in Israel, just a few months later, God says, listen, I want you to give an offering to build me a tabernacle. Where are we going to get it from you? Where are we going to get it, God? I got to give it to you. I'm not asking you to give what you don't have. You've already been given already. And here's the thing. Sometimes I believe that our trouble is God provides for us and we misappropriate God's funds. Misappropriate it. You know, I'm kind of a numbers guy. I like to organize things. A couple of years ago, I went to football camp. I didn't like how they did their uniforms. I that may sound bad to you. They had all these uniforms in big, huge boxes and mice were eating them. So I said, Brother Woodward, do you mind if I organize all this before I leave? Sure, go right ahead. I bought nice boxes from Menards. I separated all the football pants according to size in each individual box, threw the ones away that were bad, got rid of the mouse droppings and organized them all, labeled the boxes. And they're like, man, that is a great, listen, that is going to help us out. I like to organize things. I like to do that. And sometimes we don't give because we don't organize. We just don't pay attention. We don't purpose in our heart. I'm going to give this much money every month to missions. And we're just unorganized. There's no purpose. We have no purpose in our life. That this money, and we just kind of like, well, whatever comes in, if I have anything left over, I'll give the missions. You'll never have anything left over. Never. There's always going to be a bill to pay. If you don't believe me, just have children, get married. Now, by the way, it's worth it. You know, this year I've been a doctor more times this year than I have my entire life. No, I'm not kidding. My entire 50 years of being, I've been this past year, I've been a doctor more times and more often than I have been in my entire life. I have shelled out more money. Listen, I'll tell you something. I'm going to ask for some money back. Because somebody is taking a vacation on our money. I should have been a doctor. They get paid well. And had I not organized and said, all right, this was, I purpose in my heart to give to the Lord, I guarantee you this past year that I would never had any money to give to missions. Never. There's not been one week where I've not had a bill to pay that's beyond my capabilities of paying. But praise God, missions are given, bills are paid. And I've gained weight this year, believe it or not. Some of you are like, oh, I believe it. Listen, you got a purpose. You got a purpose in your heart. You got to make a plan that God, listen, God asked the widow woman of Zarephath to feed Elijah. But he asked her to give what she had. Not what she didn't have. Give what you have, and I'll provide for you what you need. God asked Abraham to give Isaac. And when Isaac did, God provided the ram. So God provides for you what he asked from you. God, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 again. 2 Corinthians 9. I'll probably close with this verse, probably. I don't want to say definitely because then you'd be mad if I lie to you. 2 Corinthians 9. I think America's golden calves are sports and money. Now, it was in that order, but those are our golden calves. Sports, money, entertainment. We just love it, man. We love it. And I know a lot of preachers who love money too. Money is easy to want to have. 2 Corinthians 9, look with me at verse number 9. As is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, increase the fruits of your righteousness. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service, not only a minister supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Here's what he's saying here basically is this. God provides for you what he asks from you, then rewards you for giving back to him what he already gave you. God provides for you what he asks from you, then rewards you for giving back to him what he was already given to you. By the way, let me tell you something. God doesn't just get the 10%. God owns everything. You see, you have a lot less problem giving, and so will I, when I come to the conclusion that God owns all my finances, not just 10%. God owns my home, my cars, my clothes, my furniture. God owns it all. And we ought not hang on to things too tightly in this world. Listen, I understand. Listen, and by the way, you know, it's the older I get, the harder to say that. When I was young, you know, I didn't really care where I lived. No house, I didn't have any sentimental value to a house. I didn't care what car I drove or how long I drove it. I really didn't have any sentimental value to a car. And all my stuff could be given away. But the older I get, it gets a little bit harder because like, well, wait a minute. That took some time and effort to get. And I understand that, but really, we really are blessed when God owns everything. And so when it comes to missions, God is going to ask from you to help support missions what He's already given you. I've heard preachers say, well, just pick a number. Just pray about it, pick a number that you don't have, and just believe that God will give it to you. To me, it's like, well, then that kind of insults God. Because if you only ask God for $100 a month, that's kind of a small God, isn't it? Why can't God give you $10,000 a month? Why couldn't God give you $1 million a month? Isn't souls worth that? So this idea, well, let's ask God for some magical number that you pull out of the air somewhere, that makes you feel the warm fuzzy, then believe that God will give it to you along the way. Any number you ask from God is going to be an insult to God because it's going to be too small of a number. So here's what God says. I just want you to have a willing heart first. Love me. Trust me. And then I want you to give what you do have. All right? So what do you have that you can give? And I believe this, that every person that makes money, that has a job, is able to give something. Able to give something. So God provides for you what He asks from you. Let me ask you a question tonight. What is God asking from you? Think about that tonight for a minute. God asks from us faith. I think gives us the measure of faith to have faith in Him. God asks from us for righteousness, to be righteous. And He clothes us in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God asks for us to have charity among other brethren and for Him. Then God gives us the charity to do that with. God asks us to forgive one another. Then God gives us the forgiveness to forgive each other with. Everything that God asks us to do, He already has provided for us to do it. And so then I want to remind you that souls hang in the balance. And if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. God wants us as Christians to do the work and finance the work. We must continue to pray. We must continue to go. We must continue to give. We do it tonight. We don't ever record who gives what when it comes to missions. We don't make it public. We don't put it on the bulletin. We don't put your head, we don't have you put your name on the pledge cards because that's not a competition of who gives the most. But it is a revealing of your heart of who's willing to give their love for the Lord, their love for missions, their love for people saved. So now this is not a guilt trip, this is an encouragement. This is trying to have a little challenge tonight. What would God have you give that you already have? What would God have you give? What would God have you to do? You've got to be involved in that. Spiritually, you just understand, there's never been a time when we've been able to give. Never. There's never been this is a good economy, I can now give. Never been a time for that. There's always been some looming problem that's gonna somehow hold us up and make us starve to death and you know, we have to, you know, survive on beans and rice. There's always been a family issue that we've all had to face. But this is what God does for us. This is how He trusts God and revealed God's ability and His love for us and our faith in Him. And, by the way, you'll never see great things from God if you don't attempt to do great things for God. God, show me a miracle! As we sit in front of the TV and watch TV and don't give anything. Okay? Whatever miracle you see from there ain't a miracle. All right? Anyway, I could ramble all the night. I love missions. And I can't tell you the number of stories how God has blessed us in all these years of giving the missions. Started out so small. Man, my wife and I, just young and naive, didn't have a budget, didn't have a clue how to raise a family, just didn't have a clue how to do anything. We heard about missions, we started giving $5 a month to missions. By faith. God over the years has provided. I remember one time we were given, of course, tithing and giving to missions and giving, you know, our church. And it came time for our school, our kids to go to school. We homeschooled our kids at the time. Didn't have any money for curriculum. Didn't have a dime for curriculum. We just living from week to week. But we gave it to missions, gave our tithe. Walked in the church one Monday afternoon. There's an envelope by my door. It said preacher on it. And it had money in it. It had the right amount for our curriculum for the year. We had to buy curriculum for the year. Over the years, God's kept our cars running. Kept our house. Listen, I've driven cars that should not run. So have you. They should not. There's no logical reason why this car should be running. And God's kept them going. and kept us fed and kept us provided for. And boy, the missions that we've been involved in, the missions that we have met along the way, has been a huge blessing to us. I want to encourage you tonight. If you give more money to the cable company due to the missions, there's a problem. If you give more money to the movies and the McDonald's and the missions, be careful of your priorities. Amen? Lord, tonight we come to you in closing. Thank you, Father, for your word. Help us to realize, Lord, the importance of the hour that you're coming to begin soon, Father. And your heart is that no man should perish, but all should come to repentance. And God, you could have called angels to preach your gospel. You could have called angels to produce money. But God, you called us, I believe, in this area of missions to finance it. The church should support it, should support missions and do the work. Now, Lord, tonight, we try to be faithful, Father. And Lord, we've labored. And Lord, there's a few of us, Lord, tonight that's a little bit on the tired side. Lord, help us not to be weary in well-doing, but continue to be faithful in giving, preaching the gospel, passing out tracts, telling people about Jesus Christ. Bless this place, Father, so we may be equipped to serve you. We ask in your name tonight. Amen. Let's all stand together tonight. If anyone begins to play an invitation song tonight, you need to come. Would you come? Tonight, would you think about and pray about giving the missions, being faithful in your giving, purpose in your heart. I'm going to give. I'm going to be involved. Perhaps now you're not been saved. Though you've been here for a long time, you know in your heart that you've not been born again. Tonight, would you come get saved tonight? Let Christ save you and change your life. Perhaps tonight God's called you to the foreign field. He wants you to more than just pray and give. He wants you to go. And you've been fighting that calling. And God's calling you to go. Tonight, would you surrender? Say, Lord, I'll go. Wherever you have me to go, I'll go. Preacher, I'm just a young man. Then you listen. God calls young men to go. God calls old people to go. God calls moms and dads to go. Tonight is God calling you to go to the foreign field. Tonight, involved in soul in our church, passing out tracts, telling people about Jesus Christ. The folks that you work with know that you're saved, that you're a Christian. Amen. Thank you, Abilene. Lord, tonight we come to you in closing. Thank you, Father, for this truth, Lord, tonight. Lord, I believe with all my heart that God provides for us what he already asked from us. Help us, Lord God, tonight that I pray to see that, Lord, and appropriate those funds for what you provided them for. Help us be wise, Lord, in the area of finances, in the area of your business, Lord, I ask tonight in your name. Amen.